Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN. Tell you what, we got a lot to discuss today. Yep, spooky around here for some. Certainly. I'll tell you what I'm dressed up as on this day.
It's scary.
I'm dressed up as Jason Smith. My partner looks like he's dressed up as John Martin. And Brad is a member of the Lausanne Lynx today. I know what Brad's referencing when he says it's scary. For those that watched, sounds like it was. I was not one of them, although I've read all about what happened in Atlanta last night. The Memphis Tigers. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a spooky night down at FedEx Forum. There'll be trick-or-treating, as Ben and Doyle told us yesterday, our friend. Hopefully you go down. It's a late tip, 8:30, 8 o'clock pregame here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The Lakers are in town with no LeBron. Luka, upgraded to questionable. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. Could be Luka and Austin Reeves. One more thing. Jeff Traylor was dressed up as the boogeyman last night, and he did it again. Off the top rope on John Sumrall and Tulane down at the Alamo Dome. Where? Traylor doesn't lose as a member of the American. Soar, where's the eagle? Can we hear it?
Yeah, I got to find my eagle.
Yeah. Brad's.
It was all good.
Brad's slipping.
Oh, guess there what? Is. There she
that
is.
That was for the American.
Soar.
John, welcome.
There's one more demographic that it's getting spooky for. That's if you have YouTube TV.
Oh, yes. That's fine.
No ESPN. No Disney. You say it's fine. It ain't fine to me.
Time for Superbox.
It ain't fine at all to me. It's and based on the reactions that this tweet is getting, we're rising up. We are rising up in America against these greedy corporations. Now, what can we do about it? I don't know.
I'm talking over with Disney next week.
That's right. I'm going down. This was not planned, but I will be taking a visit. Now, it ain't going to be a violent visit, all right? It's going to be all good, but I guess I'm part of the problem. I'm contributing to the bottom dollar.
Jeff was telling me about this tweet. I have to go check it out now.
Yeah, it's going crazy.
And your YouTube issue.
It has a chance to be my most viewed tweet ever. I tweeted last night. It's got 300,000 views, 12,000 likes.
Wow.
Wait, I'm going to retweet that.
Please retweet it, man. Throw a like on it, even if you don't agree. It didn't seem like you agreed. But even if you don't agree.
I have a super box now.
Well, that's true. You're protected. You're insulated. Both of you are insulated by this.
Yeah, I feel okay.
But you also do subscribe to YouTube TV, or did you cancel it?
I think we're canceling.
Okay, well, now you're canceling it because you don't get ESPN or Disney. And that's going to be the problem for everybody out there. Because if you like, it happened like in the middle of the night. It happened like you were watching ABC, you're watching, quick hook.
Good night.
Like you were just watching the broadcast, Scott Van Pelt, nothing. You get that message.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to save ESPN. Like, it's a small business. You know what I mean? Like, go to this website, keepmyespn.com.
Deal for you guys.
But, yeah, nobody's right in this, to be clear. There's no good guy. There's no bad guy. They're both just bad guys. One may be a little more bad than the other, but it's all the same language that they're talking. Anyway, we'll get into all that today on the show. As you can tell, we're putting off talking about that exhibition as long as we possibly can. I've subscribed to War Eagle Plus, so you didn't have to. And that is the good news, is that unless you did subscribe to War Eagle Plus, you didn't witness a moment of that travesty. I mean, I have seen a lot of gory things on the internet. You know, I've seen the Funky Town video. I've seen a lot of bad things on the internet. That's up there, man. That is up there for me last night. So get into that. Big show today. Anthony Sand, 11:25. We're going to catch up with him about the Grizzlies. 3-2 on the year, going for 4-2 against the Lakers. You mentioned, I did not know that Luka had been upgraded. That maybe explains a little bit of the line movement. They opened Grizz -2.5. Now it's -2.
It's weird because Harrington's read that he didn't make the trip, but maybe perhaps he's now made the trip to be upgraded to questionable. You think, okay, well, he's got to at least be here to be questionable.
Well, he was only supposed to miss a week, right?
So I don't know the initial diagnosis.
Yeah, I think it was just one, but it was still like I think he missed his first game. Missed was Sunday of last week. So I mean that would be inside of a week. So obviously, if you're the Grizzlies, you don't want to see him, or maybe you do because you want somebody to come put a stop to Austin Sanity.
Get the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, he's the hot hand.
Have you put that out there yet? That might be your next big viral tweet.
I haven't.
Austin Sanity.
I haven't. But if he does it again, I might have to.
Should have done it before Luka got back.
In fairness, Jeremy Lin did it for like, was it like a week or two? It was like 2 weeks maybe where he was just going crazy. I think it was longer than two games.
Well, yeah, this is no Jeremy Lin.
If he does it, you know, two or three more games, it's on par. Anyway, we'll talk to Anthony Sane about all of that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Parth Upadhyay was there last night. So we will talk to him about what he saw in person with his eyes. Yeah.
Is there blood in them?
I haven't seen his eyes.
Well, y'all are talking about this thing. I kept eyes off.
Brother.
John gave me all the updates I needed.
That's right. I gave you a couple score updates, and that was it. That's all
you
need.
All she wrote, huh?
That's about the only painting of the picture.
My joke.
My joke. Yes. So Parth Upadhyay will join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. Good news, bad news. Which one do you want first?
I'll give us the bad so we can knock it out and have a good day, a good Friday, get you on out of here.
The bad news is that Memphis mostly looked bad in these two games.
Oh, man.
That's the bad news.
Well, I mean, that's...
You knew that, but it is the bad news.
I'm putting the first half of Arkansas and the second half of Auburn together. I'm making it one, and I'm saying there you go.
Okay. I mean, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
That's one way to do it. The good news is that, again, unless you subscribe to that damn War Eagle Plus, you didn't see it, and these games don't count. That's about the only good news I can give you from Memphis's exhibition season. And I suppose if you wanted to stretch it, Memphis lost both exhibition games last year. Albeit not by these margins, but they did lose both, and they went on to have the best season ever under Penny Hardaway. They won the American regular season. They won the American Conference Championship. They got the 5 seed, best seed since Calipari, had a consensus second team All-American. So
these teams better than North Carolina?
I would say for sure. Okay. For sure.
Some context.
Yeah, I mean, Auburn is a top 25 team. I mean, I thought so.
I was just making sure.
I'm not saying I believe in Stephen Pearl, but the whole thing was he's going to get to keep his team.
Whew.
You know, I mean, that was the whole point of the time.
If I questioned whether he could keep the intensity, whether it would transcend, if the players and what they said afterwards and the way they played in that first half was any indication.
Yes.
Intensity's been transferred.
Totally. Memphis was never in this game. I mean, they just weren't. It was just never remotely competitive. I think Auburn got out to like an 8-0, 10-0 run to start the game, and that was it. Like, and then by like the, I think it was like 52-27 at the half. Memphis turned the ball over 20 times in the first 28 minutes. By the 13-minute mark of the second half, it was a rope time. Like, Penny was just throwing anything out there. Simon Majoke, it was like just, I don't even think Duck played in the second half that much. So it was definitely, unfortunately, a waste of an exhibition game in that, I guess I would say two exhibition games because you didn't get to work on anything in terms of late game, right? You didn't get to work on, like, if it was close, like, if it was, you know, under 4 minute mark, you know, you got to execute, you know, you didn't get to do any of that because both of these games were just out of hand. So That is the unfortunate piece of it. But you didn't get to do that last year either. And Memphis turned out just fine. So I think that's about where I'm at, Jason. It's just another year of you got to trust the process with Penny.
Okay, well, that was your bad. Give us your good.
No, that was the whole thing. That was the whole.
Oh, I thought it was going to be broken up into pieces.
No. That was the whole. That was my whole summation. Is that
was there good?
Well, the good we talked about with Doug McDaniel, but there wasn't much of that, and there was like no good in the second game. I have to say, like there was just nothing. Objectively, in terms of the context of a competitive game, there was just nothing really in terms of like, oh, I see. You know, I'm going to focus way more on that first half. Far more glimpses of the first half in the Arkansas game, right? Memphis shot poorly. They turned the ball over a billion times. Dude, Stephen Pearl said we weren't even pressing them. They just coughed it up. Mm-hmm. Pitty's after the game saying, I got guys that don't want it. I mean, we're already there, right? Like, we're already there on October 31st. So I think this game was an unmitigated disaster. But again, it doesn't count. And we know that Penny can turn it on when the real game start, and that's what you have to hope for.
The fact that Penny was, he used the word shocked about how they played afterwards. Let's start there.
Yep.
It's not a good sign.
Not at all.
I mean, everything you laid out, I could go double down on all that. I don't need to. Penny was shocked at how they played. So, and he said as much afterwards. So, listen, I'm not concerned about the shooting. They shot it worse and went back and looked from a percentage standpoint last year than they did in these two preseason games.
Yep.
That said, they're likely not going to be the 22nd best three-point shooting team in the country, but it can get better.
Yep.
Sincere hit threes last night, and I feel good about Doug hitting threes. Didn't happen last night, but those two for shooting, okay, at least I know I got two. I would say that I hopefully I can trust. We'll see. It's got to get over. But back to the point, not concerned about the shooting. What I am concerned about, and I told Jeff this morning, is the turnovers.
Yep.
And how do you fix it when you got 15 new guys and you don't know which one of them's going to play with which one of them's yet?
That's very true.
And to your point about what have you learned about what could be a rotation or not, I mean, I guess Penny's seen what could be a top eight or a top nine, but how that's going to fit together, it's kind of tough to tell, to your point, through these two exhibition games. So how do you fix a turnover issue that unfortunately has been too characteristic for Penny's teams? John, I said it to Jeff, I'm you're probably with the kids this morning, but it's 4 of 7 years for Penny that he's been 300 or worse in turnover percentage, including last year, 308. They turned the ball over in the second half against Colorado State last year in the tournament. They turned it into 12 points in the second half. It's what helped them go off on their run, in addition to the defensive adjustments they'd made against Dane. It's you got me?
Yeah.
4 out of 7.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
John, there were only two Sweet 16 teams last year that were outside the top 150. Okay?
Yep.
Penny's best has been that Kendrick Davis team, and it was in the 190s. So last night, it's 23. It's Auburn turning 23 turnovers that I think you made a key point. When Pearl is saying, we didn't even really pressure them. They were just kind of coughing it up. They were self-inflicted.
Yep.
That's what the issue has been for Memphis with Penny. And so if I'm concerned, it's that.
Yep.
And how do you fix it when you don't have a core group of guys that you've been working on this with for – you know, year to year and trying to curb this. And so it looks like, again, what, Doug had 4 last night. Curtis had 4. And so if your lead guards are going to turn the ball over like that, then that's the thing that I don't worry about this team winning the American. We're coming off these two exhibition games trying to say that. I think we're going overboard. Is it going to be 10-3 again? Non-con? Probably not. But what I do worry about is the little things, the attention to detail that we've said has been, unfortunately, has been an Achilles heel. Now, some of that you guys can dive into, okay, he's playing too many. Well, when you play a lot and you have lesser defined roles, you turn the ball over more. Guys don't know where guys are going to be. That's also contributed, I think, to the larger issue, which is the finer details, man. The thing that's kept you out. You know, it's this, Penny's had the athleticism, he's had the speed, he's had it all. He's had a good three-point shooting team last year, unless you hadn't made the Sweet 16. Well, it's things like this. And you can say it after a game, we're going to tighten up. He's done that in some of these 20 turnover games in the regular season. Forget exhibition. But unfortunately, you haven't done that on a year-to-year basis. And that's what scares me. Because in the end, I think he had 13 in that first game. But what's, you know, what is it, 36 in the two? A Penny team, I'll wrap it up this way. 10 to 14, I'll take all day long. When you start getting into that 15 to 20 range, that's when you're going to not beat teams that are well coached, that will turn those mistakes, self-inflicted in most of these cases, into baskets and wins against you. So that's, yeah, that would be my concern.
Yeah.
Is and how do you fix it, John, with a new team of 15?
All right.
That you know, you're going to have to work on that with the 7 or 8 you take into next year.
Yep.
And this has got to be a new part of the culture, cleaning this up. Penny's got to care more in this department. And I
agree.
They know that. I've told the coaching staff, I made this point after last year's exit. They said, yep. Pretty much said, yep. We know.
Yep.
They know.
Yeah.
But how do you fix it when you're having to replace a whole
team?
No,
I mean, I think that's...
This is going to be something that's down the road.
I really think that's the piece.
But
I mean,
it's a key to the whole tenure.
I'm willing to say it's the key. Because if you look at the most successful programs in college basketball,
they don't
keep
do it.
Guys.
The year before, it was 2 last year in the Sweet 16. The year before, 0
right.
that were outside the top 150 in turnover percentage.
Right.
You know this. This is what I start sounding like a coach and whatever, but I've heard it too many times. Tournament, postseason, those possessions, they matter more.
100%.
You give them up against better teams, it's over for you.
It's over for you. But like it's you're focusing on the granular issue, and it is the issue, but what exacerbates that issue? What exacerbates that issue is a new team every single season.
Well, it has. It certainly has added
because
to
if
it.
You have guys that have gotten reps with each other, you know, you don't. Ideally, they know where each other is going to be.
Right, but he hasn't replaced whole teams every year.
Right,
and this has been characteristic throughout. That said, you are absolutely right. It's not conducive to cleaning it up
right.
when
right.
you're having to replace this. So the idea that you're going to clean this up all of a sudden on the fly,
yes.
and you're going to be a 10-12 turnover average team, no,
right.
probably not.
Right,
but that's where we are. I'm already thinking about the 7-8. That's the number he keeps using about next year. Because
right.
you don't clean this up in a season where you have to get 15 new dudes and you're trying to find out
happen.
Who can play with each other.
It will never happen. I mean, it's very difficult to live like that.
That said, you have to put the line down.
Right.
There's still enough talent out there to win the American.
Totally.
You ain't going to be a 5 seed, most likely. I mean, let's just keep it real now.
Now, we wouldn't have said that after
played.
Those exhibition games last year. But
those are two good teams that you just played.
Right.
You lost by more, as you said, than last year, but these teams are better than North Carolina was last year.
They are better.
So,
and Memphis, you know, Memphis went on to be 10-3, and you know.
So there has to be some comeback to it. Okay, we know what, you know, Penny's got the same challenges, new team.
I do think he's earned some level of, like.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why, when I wrote the piece last night, I was like, hey, like, you know, you can find, like I, one of the examples I brought up last year was that Indiana beat Tennessee in an exhibition. And Indiana was thinking after that game that they were about to be back to glory,
right,
Tennessee. Everything is Gucci. Well, Tennessee, the loser of that game, went on to be a 2 seed and go to the Elite Eight. Indiana missed the tournament entirely and fired Mike Woodson. USC beat Gonzaga in an exhibition last year. Everybody thought USC was going to push for the Big Ten. They were maybe a dark horse in the Big Ten. USC goes under 500 last year. Gonzaga does what it always does and wins the game of the tournament. So exhibition results are often deceptive. Now, I don't know which coaches were doing what in those games, but I can tell you, quite frankly, like, especially in the second half of this one, it was a joke. I mean, Penny was just throwing anything there, bro.
Did Majuk get a lot of rebounds in a short amount of time?
I mean, yeah.
I was kind of joking, but I wasn't.
No, I mean he did some things, but
because he didn't play in the first one, right?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
He did some things, but,
I'm not looking
for like,
saviors. I saw your eyes.
You know,
still is active,
ready to be a part of it. Yeah, exactly.
196 was their best, John, with that Kendrick Davis team. They were still outside the top 150.
That's insane.
262, 338.
Again, that was pretty much a whole new team too. I mean, you brought DeAndre back, but I guess Chandler was back on.
There
that
was
team.
More back.
There was
than
definitely
what you're
more.
Doing
yeah.
the last 2 years.
There's at least two. I mean, those were two decently, Dandridge. I guess
unfortunately, this is part of the brand.
It is.
That hasn't been cleaned up or at least made enough of a priority.
Yeah. No, I mean.
And I bring the point up to Jeff, and Jeff had a good, a good comeback for me that, Penny, all NBA point guard. So you'd think turnovers would be something that would, you'd be on top of and it would drive you nuts and it's something that's one of your pet peeves and that's something you're going to make sure with your program. But Jeff Point got back at him, the retort. I mean, he said Penny would turn it over, too, as a player.
Yep.
And, Penny was still all NBA. I mean, what do you, even though John Morant has turnovers. But, again, if you're not paying attention to the finer details, he's doing – this is why I'm stressing this. Because he's doing such a good job in so many other areas, right? Especially as college athletics has shifted, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents. I mean, at one point, we think you got much, and then compared to the other teams now nationally that also have national championship aspirations, you don't have enough. And so you're trying to keep a talented roster. And You know, in this new age, he does all that. He would play. Hey, had to wait on PJ Haggerty. I still end up with Doug McDaniel, right? Got a 5 seed last year, 10-3. Got your team up. First time ever in the Maui finals for this program.
Yep.
Cal didn't do that.
Yep.
Larry didn't do it with Penny as a player. You're hitting so many boxes, and it just feels like this one right here is one of the few things that's keeping you out.
Yep.
From breaking through.
Yep.
And last night again against a good team, who's saying, "Man, we're not even pressuring them. Those are self-inflicted turnovers. They're just throwing it around."
Right.
It brings its ugly, pops its ugly, spooky head up again.
I mean, I could say that that's the main. There are other, like, the big problem is a problem.
Well, we said going into the season, yeah, we didn't know if he had enough in the front court.
And Aaron Bradshaw did not start last night.
What about my man Ingraham? Did we not play? Are we out of shape? You got eyes on me.
He played late. I mean, he played late, but he wasn't a part of the first half rotation.
Thinking he's going to be something early on that he can depend on.
It didn't feel like
you got,
it.
I mean, you got San Francisco a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, it's go time.
Yeah.
I guess technically, I was hearing somebody, you're lucky that you got another week in between because, you know, maybe get Ingraham into better shape, whatever. Because everybody else is pretty much starting,
yes,
you know, this weekend or whatever.
Yes.
Or Monday.
Yes. Ingram played 6 minutes last night.
See, he only played 5 in the first game.
Aaron Bradshaw had played basically 20 minutes. He had, 10 points and 1 rebound. I mean,
so
that's just
many,
not going to be
enough.
How many
rebounds from Ajok in a few minutes?
Ajok had 7 rebounds in 13 minutes. But again,
well, I mean,
played,
that stands out in a mess. He played in a second half, they scored 47
yeah, it was
47
second,
points.
It was second half minutes.
Okay.
Maybe he played a little bit in the first half, but it was mostly second half minutes.
I mean, those are good teams. You got absolutely waxed yesterday.
Yes.
There's
just really nothing good at all about that game last night. Just no, I mean, defense
sincere,
was bad.
Sincere.
Sincere
shots.
Was 7-15. Yeah, 2-4-3.
That's what we need him to be, right? That's exactly what we said. We didn't see it necessarily against Arkansas, and so you needed to see that.
Yeah.
There's your good.
But he was a minus 19.
Well,
somehow.
Again, we got to see. Let's see some shots drop, and we'll work from there.
Yeah. I think I was most concerned about the defense. Like, I was like in terms of, like, all right, we got turnovers, we got the defense, like, just failed yesterday in every way. I mean, they let Auburn go 10 of 24 from three.
Well, I saw the percentages that in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it was just kind of like
getting what they wanted.
Again, an exhibition, so maybe that's
Auburn's
just what
good.
It was. And Auburn, I do think Auburn is a good team. They got some players. They got Pettiford. They got Overton. They got some guys. I don't think they're as good as Memphis made them look.
Well, it sounded like they were coming for our necks.
Yes,
by the quotes after the game.
There's no doubt. They had a red dot on Memphis. I don't know why. I don't know, like, you know, what the history was, but they came out like it was not an exhibition game. Memphis came out like it was. So,
yeah, you're not going to be able to come out on your heels against this non-conference schedule.
But you know, Penny seems woke now. He's like, hey, I'm shocked that we looked this bad.
If he says he's shocked,
no,
then I think this should probably be the tone.
Yes, agreed.
For us going
totally.
Into the
no,
going
it,
into the
I mean, year. I mean, like I told you yesterday, I would have probably made this like a Auburn minus three, like, you know, and on a neutral site. Maybe that was too short in retrospect, but I mean, I didn't think it was going to look like this. I thought it would
be. He didn't either.
It was utterly non-competitive from the beginning of the game. So Memphis has some things they got to fix fast because the season starts next week.
Well, who's starting? Your man Curtis going to have to hit shots, dude.
Yeah. I mean,
that was the thing at LSU last year.
That's right. You're not going to get.
So is Ashton. It's not just on Curtis. Ashton's going to have to hit shots if he's going to be out there. Penny started him twice, right?
Yeah. I mean, Ashton has not shown that he's capable of being a starter at this level, in my view. He's going to have to earn that.
Do you remember him hitting a couple shots against Michigan and
the
Bahamas?
I do. It was a good time. It was like, oh, man, maybe Ashton can be a kid. And it just never materialized.
It did not materialize. It needs to materialize. This season,
and it still
if
isn't.
If you're
really
going to trust him and have him in the starting lineup,
yeah,
like we got to see it.
I mean, with that said, I don't know who. I don't know that there's a good option in the front court.
Well, they said my man. Give me the starting lineup.
The starting lineup
when
last night was Ashton.
I want who should be the starting lineup.
Doug Sincere.
So long as you got Sincere a week from tomorrow. Who's the three? Is it Zach Davis or Barry?
I guess I'm going to give it to Zach Davis because he's a little bigger.
Our four is Aaron. No? He's going to have to play five? Ashton. Oh, it's Ashton Aaron.
Yeah. Because Hassan Abdul-Hakim hasn't done anything. He hasn't shown anything. Like, I thought he would be a guy that came in and you know, and Ingram's not ready. It's not good. It's just not good.
Well, it's San Francisco.
It is San Francisco, but I come away.
Where are they at on Ken Palm?
I gotta be. I'm not panicking. I'm not panicking.
They're 84.
But am I coming out of these games feeling good about Memphis? No, I am not. I don't think anybody is. Penny is not.
You like, told us in your column, trust Penny. It said John Martin headline, trust Penny, he's got this.
That's what it said.
That's what it said, right?
But
it said, trust Penny, he's got this.
I said once more, Memphis fans will have to trust the process with Penny.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I misread it. I saw trust. And I said, Penny.
And you know what that really means is this looked terrible. But you just have to ride it out with Penny because it usually fixes itself by the end. Like, that's really what that implication is.
I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt that we go in this year expecting him to still win the American and that things will be fine.
Yes.
Will make the tournament.
Doug played 24 minutes last night. Like, he just –
Yeah, how come he didn't shoot it?
I don't know.
Was it the defense?
You know, it's a good question.
That's what I wondered because I couldn't get eyes on it.
He looked very unengaged last night. It was very strange.
Does he think he's – Okay, we don't need to see in and out. Like, we don't need Javon Quinterly here.
I'm not sure if it was a deal where he was just like, hey, this is already a blowout. I don't really care. Okay. I don't know. Like, I would – but it looked very different than what we saw against Arkansas. Like, he was active. He was shooting. He was hunting a shot. And this one, it was like – again, the game was over before it started, so.
You said trust in Penny. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you told the city today.
The season starts next week. So
yeah, a week from tomorrow.
We don't have to litigate this anymore after today. You know, we'll have real game results to react to, thankfully. If they lose to San Francisco at home, we're getting close to the button.
It's Ole Miss second game?
Yes, on the road.
Oh, my Lord.
It gets real. It gets real. It gets really real. All right, we'll come back. Anthony Saint's going to join us. Grizz Lakers tonight inside FedEx Forum on Halloween. We'll talk to him about that. Cedric Coward's rise. How soon before he's in the starting lineup? Jaws game winner against the Suns. Lots more to come. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony Sane is the host, the great host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon. Underground king of Memphis sports media. Independent journalist. Kicked the door in where no one else could. Founder of Asylum Media Group. Regular contributor on Grizzbeat on Grind City Media. Father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Follow Sane on X at Sane Asylum. Sane, Grizzlies playing very well at 3-2 with the Lakers coming in here. How you feel?
Feeling good, man. One of my goals for the season, all things considered, with injuries and everything, is to, you know, stay around 500. They're a game above 500, a chance to get to 4-2 tonight. So just hold down the fort until you get your guys. That's what I've been wanting them to do, man. And I think that what I'm seeing so far with the team this year, especially with before I get into that, John's there, right?
Yes. John's here.
Yeah, I'm gonna need a personal apology and admission that we did draft Michael Jordan before I say another word. I'm not gonna move forward.
Hey, man.
People like John, look at preseason games and you call a kid to score up and all this type of stuff. I need your public apology. I just hang up the phone. Whatever y'all want
to
do.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to. We don't have to bully. You know, I don't want to be bullied, but I will say, man, I am so excited to have been anywhere close to wrong. I can't say I was wrong about the MJ part, but my skepticism was about him being ready to play this year. Bro, he's closing games. What are we talking about?
Oh, yeah, for
this
sure.
Dude is closing games.
He looks amazing, bro. Best rookie since Ja Morant, and I don't even have to argue that. Like, anybody who sees anything different, they lost their mind. He's really good, man. He's really, really, really good. And he's got high basketball IQ, defends at a high level, kind of knows where to be on the court a lot, takes very good shots. I've became a NBA nerd watching Cedric Howard. I'm starting to care about things I didn't really think I cared about. But he's been absolutely amazing, man. And like I said, I think that his emergence, like we all said, has really changed the trajectory of what the Grizzlies could even be this year, you know, when a guy like that looks to be a definite hit in the draft. Like I said, there are definitely some things about the Grizzlies that they're struggling with right now until you get some guys back. But having four rotation players short and still being able to stay afloat has always been the goal. So I think they're doing pretty good so far.
I'm with you. I asked you this question earlier this week. I think I'm more excited to ask you the same question again. How soon before you think we see Cedric Howard in the starting lineup? And are you putting him in for Jalen? Sane, are you putting if you're Isolo or KCP?
I'm letting him come get KCP if I'm him. Jalen's shot has been bad. Like,
bad
he's not
so
been
far.
Making a lot of shots. He had a big 4-point play in the game the other night, though. I will give him that. But
yes,
as far as his 3-point percentage has been a lot worse than we really need that to be for him. But his defense has been exceptional, man, especially being the guy who's the point of attack defender. He's been very well in that department for sure. And KCP has been great as well. He's played some good basketball. Also hasn't been able to make his shot. But I think right now, if you're going to experiment with putting Sid into the starting lineup, which I think won't be much of an experiment, I think if he gets there, he's going to stick and stay and show and prove.
Like,
but I think you let him play with Jalen, because I think that considering your backup point guard situation, another guy in that backcourt who's a vet who can kind of steady the offense like a KCP coming off the bench would be a good thing. I had the Michael Cole on my show yesterday as well. Make sure y'all go check that out. On Bluff City Media, YouTube, on my Twitter, however you want to check it out, my Facebook, whatever you want to do. I had the Michael Cole on yesterday, and he was saying that if you just look at the minutes, Coach Isolo is pretty much telling you, if I was to pull a guy, who it would be. KCP's minutes are declining. Jalen Wells closed the game with Cedric Howard the other night. Jalen Howard played more minutes, at least 10 more minutes more than KCP did. Kind of concerned about KCP with that ankle thing and just, you know, he had him kind of mummified the other night when he wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
He's a guy who may be dealing with some injuries as well. But and also, man, if you're talking about building a substantial winning product here in Memphis and you're looking towards the future, Jalen Wells and Cedric Howard, as far as guys that are on your roster right now, those are the guys that you would look for the future, you know.
Good point.
So I think that's the way I would go. I love what KCP brings as far as leadership and as far as just tenacity and toughness on this team. I was kind of surprised he didn't really get riled up when the whole thing with Draymond went there. I was kind of surprised he didn't get, you know, he was on the court.
Yeah, like he's the guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's that dude. You know, he's, you know, we seen my man out there with a, you know, with a police bracelet on.
Right,
the
ankle bracelet.
He would have been that
dude. And he kind of put Poole in his place, though, right, in that one game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We saw him go against Poole I could kind of see him looking at Draymond as a dude who,
right,
you know, you just kind of roll your eyes about, like, man, you know, Draymond ain't gonna do nothing. Like, Draymond just barking. But I was kind of surprised he didn't do that. But to answer your question, to stay focused on your question, KCP would be the guy that would come off the bench because, you, like I said, Wells has been amazing defensively. And I just think that combination with him and Coward can really play off
each other. I was on the other side of that yesterday talking, asking the same thing with Bennett. But I think you've convinced me this, right, because that's the future. Right? Yeah. That, I mean, KCP, sure, veteran might take it up. Man, what you talking about? Y'all brought me over here to be a starter. But who cares?
Yeah.
Because Jalen and Coward are your future. So I think you've convinced me to that point.
If Wells and Coward works, yeah, I would like to have KCP on this team, like, going forward, even past the 2 years on this deal. But if Coward can make him expendable and you can trade KCP for a couple other pieces, I mean, or, you know, a piece or two or whatever, I wouldn't be against something like that too. But I know I'm kind of getting ahead of the whole thing. But yeah, I would answer your question.
No, I like
would let Coward come get KCP. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of exciting to, you know, you got some options. I mean, if KCP is like, you know, we've seen old heads come here and not appreciate the bench. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if he's down with that, you know, I mean, I'd have to take the temperature there. Because I know Jalen would be like, I think he would ultimately
be political with it. But to the Saints point, you're I mean, Saints got him hot, but you're not winning a title, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, you know, trying to keep KCP happy.
No, you're right.
You know, so he's engaged. Forget that. I want to work through, you know, my future,
right,
to Saints point, which is Coward and Will.
Yeah, it's kind of like you have two timelines kind of colliding there in a way because, yeah, like, I would like to have a veteran presence because that's what he is.
Right.
But if, you know.
Remember, Ty will be that, too. He'll be eventually in this mix as well. So you'll have Ty Jerome working there as well.
Yeah.
How long
Ty's going to be on the ball. I think Ty's going to be your backup.
Yep.
Point guard. I don't think he's going to be a shooting guard. Right?
What about when Scotty comes back?
I ain't going to lie, bro.
He's your third point guard, ain't he?
You know what I mean? Like, I don't really care. Like, if that's another thing,
golly,
too.
Like, man, when, that's it? I love Scotty.
When he comes back, man, when Scotty comes back, you can play Ty, him, and KCP or whatever you're doing together. You can put KCP as your big wing, and Scotty Pippen Jr. could be your point of attack defender.
Still need a defender in that group, and that's where he can come in the door. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know, you know, again, like how – I don't know, but he seems like he's 34 years old. Like, he can't be that damn surprised if he's coming off the bench, especially –
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's seeing what Cedric Howard is doing, bro.
We can't be too worried about it.
How soon?
Yeah, he's probably super excited about it. And KCP is one of those dudes where he's from the South. You know, he's got Georgia roots. I can see him liking to be in the situation as up and coming like Memphis, knowing he's in the twilight of his career, and be like, man, whatever, just let me ride this thing out.
Right.
Sign me up to another deal. Let me stick around here.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see him liking to be here and just want to keep his family here and just do his thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. How soon do you think we approach this? I mean, they're already closing with Cedric Howard. I don't know that it matters the ceremonial start, but it feels like this kid is pounding down the door.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they did it tonight. You know what I mean? Why not? I mean, if you think he's that dude, you know me, man. When it comes down to me, if you have a date in mind where you're saying, oh, that guy, like when John first got here, right? And people were saying, man, that kid's amazing. He's going to be better than Mike Conley one day. I'm like, no, he's. If you can say that, he's probably better than Mike right now. You know what I mean? Like, if you can have a date in mind where you can say, yeah, he'll be doing this by then, just go ahead and do it now. Like, if you think he's going to be that guy in the future, let the future become now, man. What's the worst that can happen? Like, if he comes out there and he struggles, you go back to what you were doing. So I'm down with it right now today if they do it. I'm not saying I think it's going to happen tonight, but if they did it tonight, I would get behind it for sure.
I feel like if you know, and maybe this is just me hoping, but if Ja plays another back-to-back, you know, that's coming up, you've got, Toronto, Detroit after the Lakers tonight. Like, that's telling us something about what he's planning to do. I think obviously Coward's been a huge story. Ja, I mean, he's won two games for you just on, you know, on his own there. Him playing in these five, playing through that first back-to-back, I just think is the other part. Because it is saying, for as good as you want to be, and we're 3-2, and we said you got to tread water, and you're doing better than that. Ja saved you in these, and I think the combined wins of the teams you beat is just one, and it's really been 12 that's helped you do it. How good's been seeing him be in the lineup and sort of making this thing, you know, what it is?
Oh, man, it's been great, man. It's been great. You talk about the back-to-back thing, right? My guy Parker Fleming, who comes on Gabe Kuhn's show a lot, shout out to him.
Yeah.
he said he posted a stat yesterday. He was like, he looked at the injury report and he was like, if this holds up, this will be six straight games for Ja. Ja didn't do that at all last year. You know what I mean? Like that happened at no point last season that Ja played more than five games in a row. Like, which is a crazy stat to think about. Like the fact that the Grizzlies won 48 games last year and Ja Morant had no stretch of playing five games in a row. Five games in a row is the standard, right? That was – he never may play more than five games in a row. The Grizzlies still won 48 games. I think the fact that he's played these first six, I think that's awesome. It also kind of makes me – I'm going to ask this to y'all too, man, because I had this conversation with DeMichael yesterday on the show as well. You know, in the past, you always kind of felt like everything from the head to the toe was in sync. Like it was Kleiman wants to see this, and the coach says, yo, yes, sir, I agree with that. And then the players, okay, yeah, let's do that. Do you think that this year Isolo may have said, hey, let me run all of this? Like, if I feel like a guy can go and the guy feels like he can go, let him go. Because, bro, you got to think about it, bro. They didn't do any load management with Jaren. He played in the preseason. Ja hasn't missed a game at all. When we saw him get an ankle injury, like, it just kind of makes you wonder, like, is that a new team initiative starting from the GM on down? Is this Ja's thing? Is it Isolo's thing? It just makes you wonder how things are flowing as far as communication and how to handle injuries and load management and all those type of things.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
my guess is Isolo got a it better be mine, let me do what I want sort of promise in hiring him, right, coming
I'll,
over
I'll
here.
I'll stay in Paris.
Pick a right? Because that mean when them two wind and dine in front of the Eiffel Tower, I imagine – because right. You paid, you know, what we say, above market dollar for an assistant coach. I mean, we know Kleiman loves him. And I imagine it was that. It was, I'm going to trust you. We're going to get you through. I'm not even going to do a coaching search when we go back through, which we know he didn't. And I think it might be what you said, saying that I'm going to trust you and we'll go along with your plan. Yeah. Which is probably the right way to approach it. If this is your guy, you better make him your guy and let him do his thing, right?
Yeah, I ain't mad at that. I ain't mad at that at all. It's kind of like in dating, right? When a guy breaks up with one girl and he's a totally different guy for another girl, and then the lady gets upset, right? Hey, it goes back to those early negotiations when y'all first, you know what I mean? Hey, I came in with a different type of negotiation than the last one did. So, you know, I think it boils down to that. But I think it's definitely different, man, because like I said, we haven't seen any in these six games, they've had plenty of reasons to do some load management stuff as far as the back-to-backs,
right,
and all that type of stuff. They haven't done it at all. Ja hasn't missed a game and Jaren hasn't either. We saw a totally different thing than they were doing last year. So something's definitely different over there.
All right, let's talk about Jaren.
Mm-hmm.
He's having a tough stretch, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Hasn't had a 20-point game yet. The rebounding looks kind of good in some games. The normal stuff in some others. Had some toughness concerns against Golden State. I think it's kind of debatable, like, because I had this conversation with DeMichael yesterday as well, and we talked about does he think that – because if you just look at the timeline and the injury reports – Jaren isn't supposed to be back yet. Like, he came back early. Do you think that him coming back early is hindering him? Like, because sure. To me, Jaren doesn't look as explosive as he looks. He looks a tad off, like a certain moves that were go-to moves of his last year. And DeMichael said he doesn't really think that. He still thinks that Jaren's struggling to find his way in Coach Isolo's system.
New offense.
Last year, Jaren was given the green light, ISO, ISO, ISO. And for all intents and purposes, Jaren might be a better ISO player than even Ja, simply because of his ability to get to the free throw line. Ja doesn't get fouled going to the basket a lot. Jaren gets fouled going to the line all the time, and he's a good free throw shooter too. So for that reason, you know, Jaren's numbers escalated last year. We're struggling to see him fit in the system that's being asked to set screens and all those type of things and play a different type of role.
Yep.
I think those type of things are going on. I think he's put a lot of pressure on himself to have a good year this year with that big contract that he got as a max player. But Jaren's one of those guys, you know, if you look back in the history of this team since Jaren's been here, he's had a slow start every season in the month of October. So hopefully we can get Jaren to get up to speed in November and see him look more like that, you know, two-time All-Star that we've had in years past.
All right. I'm gonna tell you what it's Halloween, right? I'm gonna tell you what scares me. I watched the whole damn game.
Oh man,
you already know
where you going,
bro.
Snow
the Spurs,
time.
The
Snowtime Lakers. The Snowtime Lakers are in town tonight.
No, I'm not worried about that. Yeah, but you're right. The Snowtime Lakers, I like it. But the Spurs, bro, they have not lost a game yet.
Oh,
they
man.
Beat the Heat last night handily, I would add. And
Noah LaRoche offense did not come out on top against the Spurs.
Bro, and Wimby gets away with goaltends.
Okay, like that man goaltends like three times a game, and like they don't call it because he's like so big, they just assume he got it at the apex. We have to fix that. We have to regulate that. But bro, they don't even have De'Aaron Fox yet. That team is scary, bro. They're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I think they need to trade Fox before he even plays a game. I ain't gonna lie. Like I said that last year, I didn't understand why they went and got De'Aaron Fox because I mean, what does De'Aaron Fox really do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, as far as take you to the next level, especially when you see how good the guards they have are now on that Spurs team with Wimby playing the way he's
and
playing.
And their dogs. They're good guards.
Those dudes are good, man. De'Aaron's Spurs are going to be good. Like, I downplayed their team for sure, but they're definitely better than I thought they'd be. The Spurs are scary good.
What? Yeah. It's crazy that it's their first 5-0 start in franchise history with the dynasty that they've had through there.
Yeah. You know me, man. I'm a fan of Go Young, bro. Go Young and extend that runway, bro, because Wimby's a kid. He's got 10 years, but, you know, he's got a good 2-year run, you know, as long as health, you know, lines up with him. You know me, man. Go with these young guards. Trade Fox right now to a team that needs a guard. Trade him to Houston and get some of those pieces they got. You know what I mean? That's what I would do if I was San Antonio. I'd get some of those young pieces and dangle him to Houston, who clearly seems to be in the win-now mode. I would go that type of route when it comes down to Fox. But yeah, I think that Spurs team, yeah, they're scary. Almost cuss, man. I forgot I'm not on my podcast.
But don't do it. Bennett did it to us yesterday. Don't do it to us.
Yeah, the Spurs are good as crap, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Since you're in trade machine mode, and I've been putting this one on everybody, but they've been pushing it back at me. No, don't trade him. What about trading Austin Reeves if you're the Lakers? I just heard Harrington talk about how the back half of that roster is trash, right, with the Lakers, and you're still dependent on LeBron. You're still dependent on Luka. Austin Reeves has been fantastic. You're about to have to pay him. Right. Yeah. And then other teams might be looking at him right now. My gosh, we'll give him a fortune. We'll max him out and make him, you know, he'll be our Luka Doncic. Why not use Austin Reeves to go get you a future that you put around Luka, bunch of picks that you don't have, and capitalize on that? Because I just tell you, I mean, I know folks look at Luka and Kyrie and that worked, but that's a lot of and I heard somebody else say it on the radio this week. It's not my, but that's a lot of white meat out there. You got Laravia.
Oh, it's
out.
No time.
You got Laravia.
No time,
you got Laravia. You got Dalton Connect out there.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, this ain't racial, but that dude's value is through the roof right now. Why not trade him?
Yeah, for sure. And if there's any guy, man, who I think their contract is going to age like an Olsen twin, it's definitely Austin Reeves. Oh.
Like an Olsen twin, that man said.
Damn.
Wow.
Like, for real, though, man. Like, that dude's gonna get paid, but you're talking about paying Luka Doncic, who's on the max. LeBron's making $50 million a year. If you pay that dude too, man, you're gonna have to get rid of dudes on your back end just to make any sense of what you're doing.
And they don't have the back end to drop that off. But that's why I think LeBron's not coming back next year, right? This last year, his deal.
I thought he signed a 2-year.
He got an option for another one? Okay. Well, you think he's going to opt back into the Lakers? My guess would be they hope. And I'm with John. I'd trade him before the trade.
You know what I'm saying? Well, LeBron,
and
he
build
knows
it around
he opts
Luka.
Out.
Yeah.
If LeBron opts out, nobody's going to give him $50 million next year. Like, who's got $50 million to pay 43-year-old LeBron James? You know what I mean? So he's probably going to opt in if they don't trade him. Now, if you trade LeBron, I ain't going to lie. If you could trade LeBron to get some pieces for him, what team's going to trade $50 million worth of pieces for LeBron is another question.
Yeah, like, who would – I mean, there's the only team that would want him is Cleveland.
Yeah, and I don't know. Maybe for your boy Jared Allen, I can see Cleveland doing it. I think they're kind of done with him for some stuff I've seen. Maybe I'm just saying that because my fan dude bet he killed me the first game of the season. But no, I don't know. But I don't know what they're gonna do. But paying Austin Reeves is a good player. I just get kind of leery about signing dudes because I have this theory where in the NBA there are a lot of dudes. If you said, hey, go out there and go crazy, they can go out there and go crazy. Like we saw, I forgot this kid's name again, played for Houston, the Houston Cougars. He was going off for Philadelphia last year at the end of the season.
Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, Grimes, right? I think there are a lot of guys in the league that are just natural scorers. If you say, hey, man, take the green light, go do your thing. Like we saw Gigi Jackson looking like Kevin Durant 3 years ago. You know what I mean? So I think you got to be leery of these guys who are good enough to put up crazy numbers when they have to. But are they really good enough to be a part of a winning team? I think that's why I'm really afraid of what that Austin Reeves contract could look like.
He did that 2-year with the option in 24. This is the last he opted into it this year. This is the last year of his deal. So
LeBron,
they will not be moving on with LeBron James, the Lakers.
Yeah, they're definitely going to move on from him. I wonder where he ends up, bro, because he's not done. Like, this ain't his last season. I wonder how he
– Yeah, I don't think it's his last one either. I don't think it's his last one either.
Yeah.
You think somebody – you think Cleveland would go for that?
I don't – I mean, I'm trying
to make that move this year just to get him and finish
it off? Well, he has a no-trade clause, right? So, I mean, it's got to be somebody that
he – But ain't he butthurt about the legacy? Wouldn't he look at the Cleveland situation, you tell me, saying, and say, I can get –
That's the thing. If I'm Cleveland, like, no, we'll get you this summer. Like, I'm not trading –
Good point.
You got a $50 million deal, bro. I'm not giving you anything. Like, if you want to come here, we'll catch you next year on the MLE or something. Like, nah. Like, damn. I ain't gonna lie, bro. If I was any NBA team, I would burn LeBron out, bro. Like, I would not pay him anything more than an MLE to come anywhere. Like, dude, you're 42 years old, and I know what comes with you on the good side, but I know what comes with you on the bad side too, which is unfortunate too, man. Because like a guy like LeBron. Especially seeing him be the advocate and the face of the league and all these type of things, the spokesman for the league, and he was Captain America in the Olympics and Captain COVID and all these type of things in the bubble. Like, it kind of sucks to see him turn into old grumpy old man LeBron in this stage of his career.
Yeah,
and doing videos with Cassinet and all, like, all this stuff is just kind of strange.
He does that. He shows up at Cassinet's stream, and then 30 minutes later, he's out for 2 weeks with sciatica or whatever the hell.
Right.
And but he's
doing
twerking
like,
on
he's
his.
Doing like, he's doing like red pill dating podcasts. Like,
yes,
bro. Like LeBron. Come
no,
on, man.
Point,
like,
point made. You know what, LeBron? We get it, bro. You don't like it. You don't like where it's at. It does stink because it's like, you know, you want
to
see the guy play.
You're supposed to go out better than this, man. Yeah. You're supposed to look at you like. And when he comes back, of course, all this stuff I'm saying is going to be null and void because the farewell tour is going to be amazing. Like, everybody knows.
Yeah. No, it's got to start. I mean, this whole, like, passive aggressive, like, my butt.
It ain't looking good right now.
No. It's the first time he's not number one, man. He's not the apple of everybody's eye. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wait.
It's the first
y'all
time.
See what, y'all see what the Michael Cole just posted?
Did not.
No, what you got?
It's, my eyes are bad, but it looks to be Ty Jerome dribbling a basketball at shoot around today. Look
at that. See it. Yeah, he is dribbling.
Hey.
Look at that.
He's in
shorts.
Hey,
John, how upset were you as a guy who loves the white American basketball players? I know you got Austin Reeves. I know y'all got Austin Reeves. How disappointed were you when you found out that Ty Jerome was black?
Well, mixed. I know this is a very controversial thing. You know, we've had these.
Since he is white, he's white facing for sure. He's definitely white facing.
Yeah, that's a good hair.
You know, I thought he was Latino. I'll be honest. I thought he was like.
Yeah, I thought he was from another country. I didn't think he was
Venezuelan or something like that.
And John John doesn't claim Austin Reeves like we feel like he should.
Yeah,
saying.
Like
it's a very strange phenomenon.
I thought Jared would have the Austin Reeves jersey. I thought John would have the Austin Reeves jersey.
It's strange.
Yeah, I mean, I do respect how, like, he's very unathletic, yet produces, you know. Like, that's
the,
really,
the
like,
goofy looking, the headband. The goofy looking headband.
Yeah, no, I mean, he is the epitome of white American.
Is he not a better J. Will? I mean, he does everything.
Everybody calm down.
He's a better white chocolate, man. He does everything.
Well, he's not.
He's from the South. He's got the.
He's
you know,
from
he's
Arkansas.
Got the hillbilly effect going. Come on, man.
John is from
Arkansas.
How are
you not all over him, John?
Exactly.
Because I don't relate to the hillbilly, bro. You know, I related to Jay Will. That's who I related to. You know,
it's internal conflict. He hates himself. If you're pushing back on the Arkansas that is within you.
There was nobody more of a country bumpkin than Jay Will, bro. Are you insane?
No,
like,
you're right.
You
but
about?
No, but he had steez
that
though.
West Virginia.
He had like
swag.
You know, inner
yeah,
city
he had,
swag.
He had tatted up. Yeah, he was swag.
Yeah, but dude, he had white boy on his knuckles. Like you know, like I
him
loved
and
that.
Moss. Him and Moss.
I absolutely loved that. I was like, you could not have. And then even like when I was growing up, Mike Miller was like, he was South Dakota and he was like country, but he was still cool though. You know, like
yeah, he had swag.
Like the Grizzlies of old had some cool ass white dudes, and then they brought in Brian Cardinal and ended that streak. But
LaRavion, y'all now with some LA cool, just
yeah,
coming off
got,
27
yeah,
points
got,
the other night. He's
is
got
Christian,
some swag.
That Christian cool swag with Jake LaRavion.
See,
on,
I can't do the youth pastor. That's another one I don't relate to, bro. You know, it's very very rare.
They're gonna have that 3-piece white meat on the floor tonight.
No, yeah. it's good. It might
Connect,
be 4-piece. It might be Luka
tonight. Yeah, it's a 4-piecer.
Hey man. Snowtime Lakers, man. Here we go.
The Lakers are favored, so that to me suggests that Luka's in.
Playing.
Yeah.
That man said the Snowtime Lakers.
Snowtime Lakers.
I like it, man. You, and that and the
you
Olsen
need to tweet
twin
that
line.
One saying it will go viral.
The Olsen twins did age pretty poorly.
Oh, yeah, but he's horribly.
They're still making all kind of money, though, aren't they?
What are they doing?
Hey.
They own everything, don't they?
they own. Make sure for y'all let me go, man. Brad, shout out to the Desmond Bane trade, bro. The gift that keeps on giving, for sure.
Bro, how wrong was I on that? One of the things I don't do, Sane, as you know, is I give up on opinions when they're wrong, and that was clearly wrong.
It's early.
I think Coward alone is going to make that trade age like Olsen.
I love being wrong on it, too, by the way.
To have Coward and that Phoenix,
that's very possible.
And then you might get Orlando's pick, too, bro.
Yep.
Also a possibility.
Dude, you're right. Yeah. I mean, this thing has been awesome.
Now, they did win last night, right?
Yeah, they got a second win.
Yeah, they won last night. But Bane had like 12 points.
Not good.
And their defense has been slaw.
Yep.
Yeah.
They've gone from second to
23rd. Who would have thunk it, man?
I mean, people crown the Magic, and I'm not just talking about Brad, but people, you know, nationally crown the Magic as an instant Eastern Conference contender.
Man. Yes.
Oh, man.
And they don't look like that.
It wasn't my island, you know what I'm saying?
They had Bane just looking super sexy all over Twitter, man. Look at his arms. Put a Bane mask on him.
Yeah, they are Raptor-like.
Enough. Grease them up a little bit. Like, all right, bro. Enough.
Little ass arms.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. We'll see if it flips. I mean, Paolo Banchero will drag you to 40 wins, but I'm not sure how much better it will be than that. So
some of these other teams are like Philly is sleepy good. You know, like there's others out there in the East.
Yeah, Philly's hit on a couple young dudes. There's no question about that. Sane, appreciate the time.
You are the best, sir. Thank you, Sane.
All right, y'all, take it.
Good stuff, Anthony.
Too, bro.
He's Anthony Sane. Catch him on the Anthony Sane Show. Yeah, just in that time we were talking to Anthony, the Lakers flipped to a 1-point favorite. So again,
Luka,
it has to be because the Grizz have nobody that's hurt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.